to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning. This morning we're speaking with Kathy Simolo, and she is with the Caregivers Support Group, and you're based in Chester County. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, you know, this is something that many people attempt to do on their own, is to care for a loved one, and you quickly find out you really can't do it all by yourself. Is this something that you, the reason why you might have started this group?
Well, I think from my own experience, we started to see in the area that there were so many people, even at Mass, you know, just day, coming in with their loved ones in a wheelchair or walkers, people that we know from church that are taking care of their children who, you know, have catastrophic illnesses. You know, the group in our parish is just beginning. Really, we haven't even had our first meeting is tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And right. And, you know, I wish I could tell you that, you know, it's been, you know, very, very successful. But at this point, we're just starting. We again, I don't know how much of what you got before, but there's so many people even within our own parish that we see that are in need, just to, you know, that they, we can see that they're caring for their loved ones. You know, they come to Mass on Sunday with their loved ones in wheelchairs or walkers, or you know, or those people that we know that take care of their children that have catastrophic illnesses. So there is a need, but what we saw, that there was a need right within our parish. And myself and the other gentleman that's working with me, we both have been, and I still am, a caregiver. So, you know, we understand what you go through. We understand the loneliness sometimes. We understand the calling to be there 24/7. And you're right. A lot of people that go into just taking care of mom in her old age, or, you know, a child that, you know, I can't have them go anyplace else. They got to come home. And that drive and determination is wonderful, but we don't fully understand what's involved in doing that so often, you know?
Yeah.
So we need each other to kind of, you know, throw things off. Our hope is with the group will be that we'd be able to help one another, that we'll be able to help with getting resources that people don't even know about that's available for caregivers within their homes, you know? There's so many resources that people don't even know exist. And I know my daughter is a nurse, and when she was a nurse in school and she had to do part of her nursing rotation was with public health. And she came home and told us everything that was available to seniors that we never even knew in our county had it, that existed, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So if we can help each other like that, you know, and grow in our own ministry, what a wonderful gift, you know, because we really see caregiving, you know, based in, even in our faith, is like it's a God-given ministry. You know, he doesn't call everybody to be a caregiver, you know. And so when you look at yourself and you recognize yourself as being called by God to do this ministry, I mean, it opens up all a whole different world for you.
Yeah, well, Kathy, tell us a little bit about your own experience, because I can tell that this has made a change in your life. Did you go into this reluctantly or enthusiastically? What happened with you?
Right. Well, I guess my husband had a very serious accident about 10 years ago. His heart stopped and he fell. And, you know, when your heart stops, you're dead, basically. Mm. And he fell on cement, and he bled into his brain. So he was in the hospital, I would say it was almost 2 months. He had brain surgery, and then he ended up with heart problems. He had a heart attack while he was in the hospital. Mm. And he had to get he had a defibrillator then, you know, put into him. And all sorts of, he had blood clots all over his body. And so it was a very long and enduring, you know, illness that he was going through. And I was with him all the time. You know, like what you do is when your loved one is in the hospital like that, you become the advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, if I wasn't there, you know, I don't know if they would have noticed that his arm was swollen. You know,
mm-hmm. Yes, yeah,
and so that's how they discovered that he had blood clots all over his arms and legs, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you become that, and so then you become committed to caring for him forever, you know.
Yeah,
you're married, you know.
Yeah,
but when the reality strikes, it's like, okay, you know, this is my job now. You know, and so when he did finally come home after going to rehab, it was just a natural thing that I would pick up and then care for him. And it did, it was, you know, it was tedious at first because you get to a point where you don't, you're afraid to leave him, you know, so you don't do anything for yourself. It's everything is centered around the person that you're caring for. You know, you're going to doctors constantly, you're going to, you know, therapy constantly. And, you know, again, you're advocating for them all the time. You know, how can we do this? Plus, now you're taking care of everything at the house by yourself.
Mm.
You know, we had 8 children. So, you know, at that time, most of them, were adults and out of the house. Three of them. We had a daughter really getting ready to get married. The other two were still, one was still in high school, and, you know, I guess the two, both of them were still in high school. So we had, you know, I had to take care of everything with the house, the home. You know, who was going to cut the grass, who was going to do this, who was going to, you know, take care of that. So it becomes overwhelming at times, you know.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And thank God, I did have, you know, I had wonderful children. The ones that were married were very helpful, you know. But you still, I don't know, you have that feeling inside of you that you have to be there. You have to be like, you have to be the one that takes care of Dad, you know,
yes.
The one that takes care of John.
Well, and the hardest part about that, Kathy, would seem to me that you couldn't even share it with the person that you were the closest to, which would be your husband. Did you have a sense that you needed to talk to somebody about these things just as a way of...
Well, like I said, what I found very helpful was I started to, you know, I would talk to the priest in confession. You know what I mean? When I went to confession, because you go through times where you resent having to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
want to resent that way.
No, of course. It's very natural, human.
Somewhere I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So you don't want to feel resentful, but at times you do, you know, because all your time and efforts and energy is spent on taking care of that one. You know?
Yes.
So, you know, and that was very helpful, you know, praying. I would get up a little bit earlier every morning and just, you know, take the time to pray. That really helped me a lot, you know? And like I said, I was afraid to leave him at all. And so, you know, I was in the house a lot, you know? Thank God he was on such a schedule that I would be able to get to Mass in the morning and then come right home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I mean, it was really great and it was really beneficial for me that way. And I believe, too, I believe all caregivers would probably say the same thing, that, you know, God gives you these things and makes them happen, that it makes it, like you, it makes it better for you. Like, you're more aware of how much God loves you. You know,
mm-hmm.
and how much he's taking care of you while you're taking care of your loved one. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's great advice. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I think, how long did it come? Did it take for you to come to that realization, though? Were there just little moments along the way that allowed you to see that?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there were. And at the same time that, you know, John was recuperating, it really took, you know, when you have a traumatic brain injury like that, it takes, you know, it took him about 4 or 5 years to really get to be back to, you know, thinking and like himself again.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, my mom, who lived in Rhode Island was alone. And she was, I guess she must have been about 80, 89, and she couldn't live alone. So she came to live with us. So now I had my mom.
Oh, my goodness.
who is also, you know, I mean, God bless her. I was so thankful that, you know, she lived her last 3 years with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a challenge because she suffered from dementia, you know. And so that was a real challenge. I did not know about dementia.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it was, I felt so bad sometimes because I'd get angry with her, you know. And I didn't realize that, I mean, this was... You know, she really believed that someone took her, or someone took her things, or someone was trying to get into the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she really believed that she lived back in Rhode Island and that she could walk to the corner store, you know.
Yeah.
That's what my heart breaks every time I hear on the news that an elderly person is missing, because I believe that they're probably suffering from the fact that they're going back to when they were young and they could go a certain place, and then they just get lost. You know?
Yes.
And
well, you so, had it on, you know, both. Yeah, you had it on both ends then.
Yeah. It was a trying time, but it was also like, I can't say I look back on it and I can't say that I was really miserable or, you know, anything. I don't know. I was grateful that I could do it, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was grateful I could do it.
Yeah.
Because I love these two people. These two people were the most important people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And you do. And you don't realize the work that's involved. And that's why if we can support each other through this, if we can say, oh, I know. And listen, you know, what I found when I was dealing with my mom with dementia, and I would get angry with her, and I learned through, you know, a process of talking with others or being with her, that you don't get angry. You kind of just agree with her and go along with her and settle her down, give her peace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes everybody happy, you know?
Yes.
And, but if we can share that with one another, that someone else may not know that, may be getting angry with their loved one for no reason, you know, when they don't have to put that stress on themselves, you know?
Sure. Yes. Well, how is the meeting structured? So many people think about starting groups and never do. And I guess the big
right.
thing is like, oh my goodness, I have to come up with like a plan here.
Right. And you know, and I had called down to the Archdiocese a few years ago because I was thinking about doing this, you know, but I knew I couldn't do it alone. And so finally the Lord sent someone into my life that wanted to do it too, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it was the time, you know, God has perfect timing, you know,
yes.
much more so than us. But I had called down to see if there was a program, you know, that was a little bit structured, you know. And, you know, to be honest with you, we're going to be pretty unstructured because our goal is to discuss what people want to talk about, what their needs are. So we figured like the first meeting of getting together would be just to find out what is on their minds, what's in their hearts, what do they need most of, you know? And if they need resources, then our goal is to go out and find those resources. We also, I have been in contact with a couple of women that I know that runs a companion agency that goes into be as companions with the elderly, or if they can help out, you know, someone that is caregiving someone else, if they can go to the store for them, you know, and, you know, to have those people come in once in a while and just talk to the group and share what they do and how what they have found in their ministry that would help them as caregivers. So our plan is that not only do we share with one another and allow them to be open and a little bit vulnerable and maybe even share their feelings and emotions in caring for the other, but it's also to kind of help them with resources and with things that they think is, you know, really necessary to be the best caregiver that they can be for their loved one. You know, these people that take care of people constantly, for years they have taken care of children, you know, mm-hmm. and they're really heroes, as we use that term so much today. But they are everyday heroes that, you know, get probably no recognition. You know, some of them are probably, you know, having trouble within their own families, you know, to try to balance off everything that, you know, siblings that are want to know what, you know, how much money mom has, you know,
or so many things. Yes.
You know, these things happen, you know, in families. So just to give them a place where they can come with this full of trust. You know, we believe that, you know, what happens in the, you know, in the meeting room stays in the meeting room, you know, so that we can be more, a little bit more open and a little bit more vulnerable with one another. You know, we expect that we're going to pray together. You know, we'll pray at the beginning. We might even do a little scripture reading that, you know, talk about the Beatitudes, to talk about the separating the sheep and the goats, you know. You know, your loved one is hungry and you feed him every day. Your loved one is naked and you wash and clothe them every day. You know, to kind of build them up, make them feel really good about themselves, you know, and get a vision of who God is in their life and depend upon his love and his grace to do your ministry. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Well, I think of the gospel we had earlier this week on Martha and Mary. And I think what was fun about that one is that we're not supposed to just be Mary, but we can't really be Martha without first being Mary. That Jesus even himself took time to pray before he did his ministry. Even if it was in the middle of the night, he needed that time.
Yes. And we need that. You know, a lot.
I think so. Yeah,
I do.
I think so.
You know?
Well, one of the things that you hear too from people is that sometimes you, as you mentioned, with the siblings and even with the person you're caring for, you sometimes don't get the recognition. Sometimes it can even be that the person you're caring for can be ornery or can turn on you. And so is that something that you hear too with people, is that I'm trying so hard?
Well, I don't think it's more recognition. I think I'm trying so hard, but I seem to be getting nowhere.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know if it's personal recognition or just the fact that it's like banging your head against a wall. You know,
yes.
You keep on doing and your sister's giving you a hard time because dad, you know, wasn't as clean as what he should have been when she came to visit once a week, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and
yes.
So you don't want to be patted on the back all the time, but you want to, you know, you want your sister to come in and say, hey, why don't you go out for a little bit? You know, go shopping for yourself, you know, and I'll sit with dad. You know, just that's recognition.
Right, you know? Exactly right.
That's realizing that person that's caring for your dad is also a person that needs help.
Often dealing with seniors, too, you're not making progress. So
yes,
for people
yeah,
who are goal-oriented, right. You know, oh, we're trying to get this person back on their feet, it can
right.
be slowly not, it could be slowly going the other way. And
right.
seeing that up close
right.
can be sometimes disheartening and feeling like, I don't know. Many people,
yeah.
I would imagine, though, Kathy, would hire someone to do this. This is why you
well,
say
you
it's
know,
a special
yeah.
ministry, right?
That's right. It is. And you know, a lot of families do. And a lot of, you know, what I found, too, is there are caregivers that will have someone that, you know, they pay someone to come in for like a little respite care, you know, once a week so that they could, go do shopping, you know, or just get out of the house for a little bit. And I know that there are some people that will even come to the caregivers group and will have to pay somebody to come in to sit with their loved one for the time being, you know. But you gotta also realize that there's a lot that comes with hiring someone. There's a lot that comes with that. Because, you know, like I know when I had my mom, and I had to have someone come in, especially when I had to take John to a doctor's appointment, you know. So, you know, we had a woman that would come in like a couple of times a week, usually, because at the time John was still going to, you know, a few doctors along the lines. And, So, you know, she would come in, but like one day, one night, when, you know, when she'd go into bed, my mother fell, you know, and she banged her head on the bureau. And, you know, and the woman that came the next day, she saw that, but she had to report it. You know, so when you hire somebody, you gotta take that responsibility. You have to know that they are reporting to the state. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, there was a fall, you know, she's okay, you know, whatever. But, you know, they can come and investigate then. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
so you
yes.
open yourself up to a lot, and you have to be aware of that and, you know, be ready for it, you know?
Yes. We'll talk about where this meeting is and when it's going to be for those listening in the Chester County area.
Sure. It's at St. Peter Parish in West Brandywine, and it's going to be in one of our meeting rooms at 10 o'clock on Thursday mornings. We're going to have it, you know, we're starting off once a month to begin with, and so it's the second Thursday of every month. And we are open at this point, Barbara, to maybe changing the day or the time to fit more caregivers' needs. You know, mm-hmm. Even if we have to get into a point where we have a couple of them a month, you know, at different times and different days, just so more people, it'll be available to more people. Because I was talking to two of the women in, to one family and one woman in our parish that both care for their children. And one, you know, the couple that cares for their son is, but they're both teachers. So they, you know, he goes to a special, you know, school during the day while they teach. So there, it's impossible for them to come, but they would really like to come,
but
the weekends would have to be for them,
you know.
And another woman who cares for her son, he is, you know, he's a young adult now, and he goes to classes at Westchester a couple of afternoons a week. So she says, I'm free like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoons because someone comes and picks him up, take him to class, and then brings him back. So she says, that's the only time I could go, you know.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, different times and different needs, and we hope to be able to touch all of them at some time.
Sure.
Even if we had a speaker that came in and made it available to the whole parish, because we can all benefit from hearing about some of the resources that are out there. You know?
Well, again, did you find anything available in the Archdiocese?
No, I didn't. I didn't. They didn't have a program available at the time. You know, I'm hoping that maybe someday they will, because it's you know, all of the ones out here are all secular. I don't know about in, I guess you're in Montgomery or Bucks County. I don't know if there's other caregiver support groups like this that are faith-based, you know?
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're on the cutting edge of starting something that is very badly needed in our church.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is, like I say, and the number of people coming into church with, you know, with loved ones that, you know, that they care for is growing, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yes. So, and it's bringing people into community out of isolation, perhaps sharing war stories, if that's the right word.
Yeah,
just sharing, you know, laughs, sharing sorrow, sharing resources.
Yeah, and learning from one another.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that we can learn from one another.
Is there anything that we as a church community can do if we see a caregiver that might just even be something that you were looking for from the community when you were so heavily involved with both your husband and your mother?
Well, I think the church, you know, the church, like our parish is just wonderful in reaching out to others. Father Fitzpatrick really works hard at making us all believe that we should be welcoming and that we should be really in tune with one another to, you know, give and to do with one another what we need to do. And, you know, to be aware, you know, of what's going on around us. But I know, like, for the longest time when I went to church on Sunday, and you know, when I would take John and he had this big wheelchair, you know, because he couldn't sit up straight, he had to lay back, you know, and it was a heavy thing, and you know, and the men in the parish would, you know, that were going into mass, they were so helpful. They would just come right over, oh, let me help you get that out of there, or let me help you get it back in there, you know, and which is wonderful. I think it's because we're you know, we're told, or not even told, but we're put in an environment that Father always, you know, makes us believe that we are accountable to one another, that we should look for, you know, ways to live the gospel, you know, mm-hmm. not only to know it, but to live it.
That's
you know?
Wonderful advice. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's really a blessing. I really feel blessed to be a part of the community that I am, you know. So that's, you know, that's
yes.
good. And like I said, and my family was really good, too. I mean, the kids are, you know, and they all have, you know, they all, well, six of them were married at the time. No, one was getting married, but the five of them were married, and they had babies, you know, young babies and whatnot. So, but they still, you know, would come over just to, you know, keep John company once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yes,
yes. Keep him company. And even now, like John is doing well, but he has a PIC line that is, you know, 24/7. He has medicine going in. So I had to learn how to, you know, change the medicine bag and, you know, the pump and whatnot, you know. And the nurse comes once a week still, you know, to change his dressing and whatnot. So we're still, you know, but he's so much better. Like, I can go to Mass now in the morning, and I can usually do my shopping. And by the time I get home, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, and he's just getting up out of bed.
<you know? laughs> that's amazing that you did two at one. I mean, I can't even imagine most people would feel overwhelmed with just the care of one, let alone two.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it was really hard, you know, especially until we really knew how to handle my mom, you know, and the dementia, you know.
Yeah.
Because I felt bad. I always looked forward to my mom coming to live with us, you know, and that was something I really thought would be really neat, you know, once my dad died, and then my uncle, who was when he retired, he was a priest up in the Diocese of Providence, and he went to live with my mom, which was his sister. And when he died, and he was 93 when he died, thank God. I mean, they were good companions for each other.
Mm.
But she was, you know, she was lost. She was lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was a privilege to have her. And the first, you know, first year, I'd say it was really, you know, good. I'd take her to lunch, and she had so enjoyed that, you know. And then after that, when she started to, you know, to decline the dementia, and I didn't know how to handle it, and, you know, and I felt so bad. I felt bad for her. I felt bad for me. I felt bad for, you know, I was just feeling bad a whole lot, you know.
Yes, of course.
But that's
yeah.
when, you know, confession was really helpful.
Well,
know?
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
so
it really was.
I noticed you mentioned two things, the sacraments, both Mass and, as you said, reconciliation. And it's just the ability that the church has to give us grace to be able to handle these things. And I think we started the interview saying we can't do it by ourselves. And we really do need a community, and we also need God. So
yes.
you're filling the void in both of these things, and maybe writing the book on caregiver support for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome. Again, it was great to talk to
you. No problem. And again, the first meeting will be on Thursday. What's the date? Do you have the date yet?
So it'll be the 12th. It's the 12th of every second Thursday.
Second Thursday. Okay. In of the month, in the meeting room at St. Peter's in West Brandywine, Coatesville area.
That's correct.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for being with us today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I hope that for all the caregivers that are out there that may be hearing, you know, God loves you. And, you know, whatever you need, whatever you, you know, that your church or your, you know, your friends or your family can do, I'm sure they'll, you know, they will. And, you know, remember, you're welcome at St. Peter anytime. All are welcome. Doesn't matter how you care, what you care, what kind of caregiver you are. You know, even to those that are addicted. You know, like, you know, sometimes you have to care for those people that are, you know, addicted, which is a whole different kind of caregiving. But all caregivers are welcome.
All kinds of advice here for you available. And so, Kathy, we thank you so much for your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless our church.
Yes, indeed.